On a Friday, we're geocaching on Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're hunting for treasure on an outdoor scavenger hunt with the help of GPS coordinates to find a hidden cache, a little plastic container, maybe trinkets, a guide or code. And it works as an activity for social distancing these days. Do you geocache around the state? What do you like about it? What are some of your favorite spots? What are some of your favorite experiences you've had while trying to locate a cache? We're at 800-642-1234. Don Children is an avid geocacher from Oshkosh, the former president of the Wisconsin Geocaching Association. Don, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me.
All right, well, I have to ask you about your username, Raw Evil. You seem so nice.
I get that all the time. It's an old band name from back in the 90s, and it was different and it was unique and kind of catchy, so kind of went with it.
So how do you use that username? Like, how does that come into play when you're in the geocaching world?
You are known by your geocaching name in the geocaching world amongst your peers. So that is the name that I sign, the piece of paper that I find when I find the geocache.
All right, so take us on a hunt. How does this work?
Well, to start out with, you have to go to geocaching.com and you pick an area, wherever you want to go. You download the coordinates into your handheld GPS and you go out and start looking for this hidden treasure, which there are 3 million around the world. And you follow your GPS, follow the compass, find the hidden treasure, open the container, find the piece of paper, and sign your name on the log.
And there are different levels of difficulty, I understand. There are more easier caches to find?
Yes. Everything in geocaching is a 1 to 5 difficulty and terrain, with 1 being the easiest on both difficulty and terrain, and 5 being the hardest on difficulty and terrain.
How did you get into geocaching? What hooked you?
Some friends of ours were into geocaching, and one day they're like, let's go take a look. We're going to take you there. And we're like, okay. Well, at first I didn't get it, to be honest with you. And the first one was missing. The second one was there. And I was like, oh, this is kind of fun. And then they lent us a handheld GPS because we had not one at the time. And we went up to St. Germain, and we had a list of like 5 of them that were up there, and went on our own, and we were able to find them. And all of a sudden it was like, oh, wow, we could really get into it. This is really cool. We like hiking. We love the outdoors. It was really fun. It still is.
Where have been some of your most memorable caches, most memorable places that you found treasure?
Well, one of them is in El Dorado. There's a geocache called the Expedition. It's an 8-part multi-cache where there's 8 different stages where you have to go to each stage to find different coordinates to take you to the next step. And then it's that day was an all-day experience, and it was just amazing. I have no idea how many amazing places there are in Wisconsin. and that's just one of them.
We're talking with Don Children, past president of the Wisconsin Geocaching Association. We're learning all about the sport, the hobby of geocaching. Do you geocache around the state? What do you like about it? What are some of your favorite spots? What are some of your favorite experiences you've had while trying to locate a geocache? We're at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas@wpr.org. Don, are there any rules we should be aware of? Any etiquette we should follow?
Etiquette and rules, yes. Each geocache has to be placed, if you're hiding one, 528 feet apart from each other. As far as etiquette,
528 feet? Like, why is that?
is point one when you're talking in distance on the GPS.
Okay.
Because they can't be close to each other in proximity. So they want you want to make sure that they're distanced, which is kind of proper in this day and age right now. But so you don't have things stacked on top of one another.
I see. Yeah. What about etiquette?
As far as etiquette goes, there are a lot of geocaches, and there's different sizes of geocaches as well as the difficulty in the terrain. People leave what they call is swag into a geocaching container, and swag is short for something we all get. And if you take something out of a geocache, make sure you put something back into a geocache, and always sign the log.
Always sign the log. And do you read the log a little bit once you've found your geocache to see who has come before you?
Absolutely. And once you look at that log, especially if it's a geocache that hasn't been found in, say, 3-4 years, you look at the names on the log and you're like, oh my goodness, do you remember this person? Oh my God, who do you remember? Person. So it's really kind of cool to see who's been there before you.
There are hundreds of people who are members of the association. Is that right?
Actually, the Wisconsin Geocaching Association is close to about 1,000 members. But worldwide, there's got to be as many people as there are geocachers, which is around probably 3 million.
Wow, that's really cool. It's almost like you're part of a little community. How do you tread lightly, because you may be going off the beaten path to find this geocache?
Everything, well, you can always geocache in a group if you'd like, or you can geocache by yourself. It can be a lone sport, it can be a group sport or hobby, however you want to define it. But in trails, all the state parks in Wisconsin, all the like the Eisenbach Trail in Washington County, Kettle Moraine Forest. And we're always about leave no trace behind. You know, leave only footprints, take only memories.
And do you, if you have hidden a cache, should you be checking in on it to make sure that it's doing okay, that it's not, that not too many people are trying to tread, you know, to find it?
Absolutely. Part of responsible cache ownership is making sure you're checking on your geocaches, making sure it's in good quality, good condition, and that doesn't go missing.
Let's bring in Adam in Lake Geneva. Hi, Adam.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I was just calling. This is a great topic. I've been geocaching since probably 2005. A buddy of mine got me into it, and when I was in the military, getting stationed around the country, it was really good pastime. One of my favorite memories down in Biloxi, Mississippi, we went for a geocache, and it was out in front of a fire department, and we were looking all over, couldn't find anything, and all of a sudden we look up on top of the flagpole and see a little jar attached to the flag, and we had to get the firemen out to take the flag down, and they all came out and had no idea what we were doing, and all of a sudden, one of them says, oh, our chief told me something about how he was sticking something to the flag up there. And it's an awesome activity where, you know, I've met so many people that I would have never met before and gone to places, like, right in my own neighborhood that I never would have went to before.
Oh, Adam, what a great story about geocaching, bringing people together outdoors as well, learning about all these treasure hunts in Wisconsin, there in Biloxi as well. Don Children, our guide, a veteran geocacher. Shout out to Roll Out the Barrel at Greenfield Park in West Allis tomorrow afternoon. No hints available. Difficulty is 1 star, so that suits me. We'll be back for more geocaching in just a moment here on the Ideas Network. We're exploring Wisconsin through geocaching events, learning how to get involved in these outdoor scavenger hunts. It's Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Geocaching requires a GPS device to find a hidden waterproof container, also known as a cache. And these geocaches are hidden around the state, around the world for that matter. What's inside the container is a mystery, but the etiquette is if you take a trinket, replace it with something. Are you an avid geocacher? What hunts have you been on? Where would you like to see a geocache hidden in Wisconsin? And what makes the location remarkable? Join in at 800-642-1234. Dawn Children is past president of the Wisconsin Geocaching Association, and she stays with us. And I'll just bring in my colleague, Dean Kinetter. He produces with our WPR sister program, Central Time, and he likes to geocache around the state. Hey there, Dean.
Hey, Kate.
How did you get into geocaching?
Oh, it was about 2 years ago, I'd say. My partner and I were sitting around pretty bored, looking for something to do. And she had the geocaching app on her phone and convinced me to go out and try this out. I was a little reluctant at first, just like Dawn. But on that first walk, we found about two or three caches. And I found a park that I had never known existed. This was 10 minutes from my house, and I didn't even know it was there until we found a cache in the park. So I said, there's something to this. I'm going to keep trying it. And I've done it quite a bit since.
So what are some of the coolest treasures you found or trinkets inside containers?
I think maybe the wildest thing I found in a cache was actually in Washington, D.C. There was a cache I found about two blocks from the White House. And inside I found what's called a geocaching bug. It's a trinket with a little code on it, and you can go online and log the location of it. And then you can see how it's traveled around the state or the country. And this particular bug had started in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, at the EAA Aviation Museum.
What a coincidence.
That was the first and the previous stop for this bug. Someone had taken it from Oshkosh to the White House, and then I found it and undid all their good work and took it right back here.
Don, have you heard of these bugs?
Yes, they are called travel bugs. And what you do is you purchase them, and they sometimes have a destiny. Like you look at their story, and people purchase them. They put like a little trinket on it, and it says, "Well, hey, I want to go to D.C., but it starts out in Oshkosh. And so a person finds that in a geocache, and then they take it on their travel destinations when they find other geocaches.
I love it. And so that Dean undid its destination of D.C., so someone else will take it right back, I would assume. It's still traveling.
You have to think
it's
so,
still
yeah.
It's traveling.
Mm-hmm. Dean, you've been part of a geocaching tournament in West Bend. How did that go?
Yeah, last year I took part in what's called the Cache Bash in West Bend, which is, I guess, known as the geocaching capital of the Midwest. It's a 2-day tournament or 2-day competition where there's 50 caches hidden across Washington County, and you can find as few or as many as you want. There are hundreds of people all around the world. There are people from France, I think even South Africa there. It can be pretty intense if you want to make that. You could get up early, you could hike across all the beautiful parks in Washington County and find all these. It was a lot of fun, though. Some people create caches specifically for the event. Some of them have electronic components. They're games that you need to complete before you actually get the cache. It was really, really a pretty fun event. And I grew up in Farmington in Washington County. And again, I was seeing new areas, new parks that I didn't even know existed from my home. So it was a really fun event.
Don, have you done this tournament?
I have been to West Bend Cash Bash for, I believe, 8 years.
Oh, you're a veteran.
A little bit. And they put the West Bend Chamber of Commerce. They just put on a great geocaching event. And it is Washington County is, or West Bend, is the Midwest geocaching capital of the world. And there are great hiders from Washington County, even surrounding areas, that do put out caches. And every year there's a theme. Like 1 year it was magic. Another year was Where's Waldo? And it's fun, exciting, it's different. And you get a bunch of like-minded people together that do all the same thing. And it's just a great experience.
How do you become a great hider? Like, what are the What are the traits of being a really good geocache hider, Don?
Well, first of all, you need experience. And by that, I mean, find at least 100 geocaches before even thinking about placing one, because that way you get to experience the different types of hides there are, because there's different types of hides based on difficulty and terrain. There are the easiest ones are called park and grabs, where you can actually go down a country road and stop signs. There's usually like a pill bottle or a film container that is in one of the little holes on one of the signs. So that's an easy one. And then there's these geocaches that are absolutely spectacular, where they're homemade containers. Like, let's say you have a piece of wood or a log. You cut the log in half. You open it. You place your geocaching paper and whatever swag that you want to put in it, and then you hide it amongst things in its natural surrounding area. And so you got to figure out what you like, the types of hides you like, to become a hider like the hides you like to find.
Oh, wow. So it really brings your personality to the hide. Well, Dean, before we let you go, what's your next geocache?
It's been a while since I've been out, but when I go again, I want to get back on the Ice Age Trail. Mm. It's a place that I haven't spent enough time on, despite growing up in Wisconsin. It's a beautiful walk, and I found some cool caches there already. So I want to get back out on that trail and see what I can find.
Well, Dean, thanks for joining us early, and say hi to Rob Ferret for me.
I will do that. Have a good one, Kate.
You too. We're talking about geocaching this morning. That was Dean Kinetter, producer with WPR Central Time. And we're continuing our conversation here with Don Children, who is the previously headed up the Wisconsin Geocaching Association. We want to hear from you and where you love to go geocaching. 800-642-1234. Let's bring in Marcus now in Green Bay. Hi, Marcus.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Yeah, thanks for thank you. Yeah, I just have two things. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, so I grew up in Green Bay. I'm born in Green Bay, really. Beards Creek. There's a place called Beards Creek. And I know it like the back of my hand. So anyway, I'm on my mountain bike, and there's this great old oak tree. And it had a split. You could literally get inside of it and look around, you know. So I get off my bike and I look, and there's a film canister with a little note in it. I didn't know what it meant. It was geocaching or whatever. But I did not know that. So I brought it home. And then the other thing is, I can't do it anymore, but I used to ride through Baird's Creek with my LED lights on my wrists, my head, on my bike. And I would see these reflectors. You know what I mean?
Like, uh-huh.
I turn my head. Yeah, they're way back in the woods.
Okay.
Reflectors. So I explored that, and I found, I guess, geocaching stuff.
All right. Well, Marcus, let's get what Don might give you some insights here. And Marcus, you know, finding a geocache in an oak tree.
Well, I believe, based on what Marcus was saying, is that he actually found a night cache. And those are probably one of the most unique and favorable caches of mine. You actually go out at night with your flashlights or LED lights, and you follow tack lights, fire tacks, and it leads you to the cache. And it could be in an oak tree. It could be underneath a pile of brush. But I believe that is what he found, and that's pretty amazing because those are kind of difficult to find, most of them.
Wow, that is so cool. Marcus, what do you think of that?
Well, I didn't know about geocaches at the time. And I got to tell you, I think I learned about it on Public Radio.
Well, it sounds like you encountered it on your mountain biking trail. So, yeah, you should keep an eye out for future caches. Marcus, thank you for joining us. Don, you know, there are some other caches I want to get to here. There's a village in Jackson County called Maryland. There's a unique cache there. Lone Grove?
Maryland, Lone Grave? Yeah, well, Maryland is actually out by Black River State Forest.
Oh, okay.
There are some pretty unique and amazing caches that are out there. It's just like there are everywhere in the state.
We're learning all about the outdoor hobby of geocaching with Dawn Children as our guide. She's an avid geocacher in Oshkosh. A shout out to the Cache in Trash Out event organized by the geocaching community in Ashland. Picking up litter on August 24th at Bayview Park. It's called an after work pickup and the focus is on the lakeshore and picnic area. Shout out to the Wisconsin Geocaching Association's Fall Camp Out, which is for now on the books for September 18th at Buckhorn State Park in Nisida. We'll be back for more geocaching, maybe hear from you after this news update. Stay with us on the Ideas Network. You're with us for Wisconsin Weekend as we get to know the geocaching culture in our state and its growing popularity. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks for being here. Geocaching is a kind of treasure hunt that uses GPS coordinates to help searchers find hidden treasures that are waiting to be discovered near you, maybe right in your community. Geocaching is a way to explore the outdoors using a smartphone and some old school boots on the ground sleuthing skills. Are you a geocacher? What's your username? Who got you hooked on geocaching and where have you gone recently to find a cache? Join in at 800-642-1234. Dawn Children is past president of the Wisconsin Geocaching Association and she stays with us. Don, have you noticed an increase in the number of people going on geocache adventures since the pandemic?
Absolutely. There have been so many more people that have taken up the hobby during this pandemic because it's probably one of the safest things to do to keep social distancing as we're all supposed to. And we've had more signatures on our geocaches than we've seen probably in 4 years in the last 3 or 4 months.
I think I encountered a geocache at a ballpark next to the batting area, and it was just a barcode though. And I'm wondering, how do barcodes work with geocaches?
Well, I believe what you may have found was a Munsee, and Munsee is a little bit different than geocaching, but the okay. same concept. And what you do is you actually just scan the QR code or the barcode mm-hmm. and you log it just like you would a geocache. But there's actually no physical container, no swag inside. But a lot of people do that as well.
Yeah, it was just kind of this laminated kind of plastic piece of, circle, if you will. I want to ask you about another geocache, and I'm going to say it very carefully. It's called What the Cluck in Newburgh in the southeastern part of the state. Can you tell us about this one?
That was a geocache that was recognized by Geocaching Headquarters as one of the most favorited in the world. And there's a chicken farm, if you will. They have chickens and ducks and bunnies and stuff like that. You actually go inside the fenced-in area, and you actually have to go find the geocache where there's a bunch of chickens and animals, and it's a family-friendly geocache, and it's awesome. I mean, you get the kids to go out there. It's not just for adults. Geocaching is for ages 0 to 99.
So in order to find this cache, you have to get beyond the chickens.
Yes, you do.
Do the chickens are they starting to get aware that there are people who come in and maybe they get some feed when they go past them?
Actually, what you do, there's actually feed right as soon as you walk into the gate. So you can go ahead and you can feed the chickens to distract them so you can find the geocache. And it's an absolutely wonderful experience.
In terms of private property, though, are there any places that geocaches are off limits?
Yes, yes. And any place that's near, due to 9/11, obviously there's going to be some restrictions on placing a geocache. You can't hide a geocache that's near the interstate by railroad tracks. You can hide geocaches on private property as long as you have permission from the property owner. So it all depends upon what your county, local, you know, the government mandates are for I could put a cache here or I can't. But you can put caches on private property as long as you have permission from the owner.
And it sounds like the DNR has gotten into geocaching with putting caches in state parks.
The Wisconsin DNR and the Wisconsin Geocaching Association have worked closely together over the past 19 years to be able for people to access geocaches in these. We have great state parks here in Wisconsin. And so we work together and put the geocaches out there. DNR has not put the geocaches out there, but we actually have what they call trail bosses, which are Wisconsin Geocaching Association members that have actually placed the geocaches in the state parks, and they actually maintain them to make sure that, you know, the log sheet's not full, the cache hasn't gone missing, and to make sure the cache container is clean.
And these caches are at all the state parks or just some of them?
47 of them.
47 of them. Oh, wow. We're talking with Dawn Children. She is a geocacher from Oshkosh, past president of the Wisconsin Geocaching Association. We're going around the state looking for hidden treasure, learning about geocaching. Is this a hobby or sport that you are a part of? What got you into it? What's your favorite item you found in a cache? Have you never gone geocaching? What do you want to know about getting started? Where would you like to see a geocache hidden in the state? It's 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Don, I understand in Milwaukee there's a cache you like called the Covert Cache. Can you explain this one?
Well, yes, there is a cache that is actually located inside the safe house. And if anybody has been to Milwaukee, they know that the safe house is probably one of the most iconic restaurants in downtown Milwaukee. And if you've ever been there, you know there has to be a password that you need to get inside the safe house. And once you get inside the safe house, you actually have to ask for the cache, and it has 775 favorites.
What does that mean?
Cachers. Uh-huh. Cachers, when you find a geocache, a cacher has an opportunity to actually favorite a geocache because they like the container, they like the area, they like the experience. And as of, I'm going to say, August 12th, there are 775 favorites on the Covert Cache that is located inside the safe house in downtown Milwaukee.
And so when you go to geocaching.com and you sign up and you start your caching pursuits, is there a fee? Is there an entrance fee?
Geocaching is actually free, but there are levels. You can be a basic member, which is free, or you become a premium member, which is $30 a year, which is, if you calculate that, that's pennies a year. And it unlocks, the premium membership actually unlocks more geocaches that are actually out in the world. Because some people choose to, if a really unique cache container, they've taken a lot of time, they want to make sure that people who are genuinely into geocaching don't wreck it. Don't steal it, because unfortunately that does happen. So they pay a little bit extra fee. You know, $30 a year, I think, is a small price to pay to find some of these premium geocaches that are out there.
Well, let's take another call now. Mike is joining us from Fond du Lac. Hi, Mike.
Hello.
Hi. I understand you've been geocaching for about 11 years now.
Yes, yes. I have just a handheld little Garmin that fits on a clip on my bicycle. And I've been a biker for longer than that. I'm almost 73 years old, so this is my retirement hobby. I go on bike trails primarily, paved and unpaved. I'm not a mountain biker, so I'm not doing that, but I found a wide variety of them. It seems like a lot of the larger ones are in things like ammo boxes, which is a fairly good-sized container, but sometimes very well hidden and way off the trail. I don't do too many of the, I think they call them evil monkey.
What's that?
Because that involves usually climbing a tree or something.
Oh, dear. No. Yeah. Well,
and in my 70s, I'm not climbing trees right now. But there's quite a few of them that are a little bit risky. You have to maybe cross a stream or do things like that if it's a higher terrain level. I'm usually in the 2 and 3 level terrains, and those are fine. But it's been quite interesting. And you also can hide some yourself. As the speaker said, you have to get permission from the landowner, or if it's a county or state-owned trail or area, you have to get permission from a person that is with that.
Have you tried your hand at hiding any, Mike?
Yeah, I've hidden about 8 of them on the Wild Goose Trail. I've retired them after they were there about 5 years, but those were mostly simple, what they call micros, the size of a pill bottle. And you camouflage your pill bottles or whatever so that they're harder to see.
It sounds like you're able to find new trails and go different places than you normally would on your bike.
I would say that's true, yeah.
Yeah.
I've looked at the geocaching map and seen a string of geocaches showing up. And so I looked for that and I find, oh, well, that's a regular bike trail. I could, put my bike in the van and head out there. So it's kept me moving.
Sounds like a really great retirement hobby, Mike. Thank you for bringing that, Don. You know, Mike's really found a great hobby in retirement.
Absolutely. And it keeps people moving. It gets people outdoors. It's not sitting in front of your TV playing video games. It's experiencing what nature has to offer outside.
He mentioned another word here, jargon, evil monkeys. Is that when you're having to climb something?
Yes, evil monkeys are exactly what he said. And 9 times out of 10, you got to climb a tree. And sometimes it's 10 feet, sometimes it's 60 feet.
Oshkosh geocacher Don Children is our guide. Shout out to Cosmos Corner, the second a geocaching event at Abenshine in Oak Creek on August 23rd. No hints available. 1-star difficulty. The 5th biennial Waukesha Geocaching Road Rally is set for October 4th at Frame Park in Waukesha. There's Geo Event Joy in the Town of East Troy. That's September 20th in East Troy. Are you an avid geocacher? Still time to share your experiences, what you like about it, where you've been. 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Don Children here on the Ideas Network. We're exploring geocaching on this edition of Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The goal is to track down these hidden plastic containers in a specific outdoor location using a GPS-enabled device like your smartphone. According to Geocaching HQ, it's a company that supports geocaching activities around the world, there are more than 3 million active geocaches worldwide on all the continents. Don Children is our Wisconsin guide. She's an avid geocacher in Oshkosh, and she stays with us. So, Don, earlier we mentioned the West Bend Cache Bash, and people come, as you mentioned, from all over the world to search for hidden treasures. This year's event was canceled. Are there smaller events still happening where people can practice social distancing?
There are now, yes. As soon as, we reached the level where the government thought it was safe for smaller groups to gather, the reviewers were able to publish geocaching events. And there was actually an event in West Bend last week, Saturday, and it was smaller because the West Bend Cash Bash usually draws in more than 1,000 people from all over the world. And the event there was maybe about 50 or so people that actually showed up. And because people are used to going there, that's part of their yearly routine, especially if you're a geocacher in the state of Wisconsin and you know that's going on. And one of the videographers that works for the Washington County Insider, she showed up with her camera and her and she took pictures, and we kind of did a smaller scale little group event while we kept our social distance.
What kind of community have you found around geocaching in Wisconsin?
The community is, you will find the best people that you will have lifelong friends just by being a geocacher, because people hold the smaller events. You meet people. You put your heads together. You come up with ideas. You have travel partners. And it just makes for a great friendship, a great geocaching, close-knit community where we're probably the best people to have as friends.
When you go on vacations or you travel, do you incorporate geocaching into your pursuits?
Absolutely. And not only that, there's a lot of people that actually base their vacations off of geocaching. So let's say you want to go to Puerto Rico. Well, I'm going to Puerto Rico because I want to get the cache on that island. Or I want to go to France and you geocache France. Or you go to Canada and I'm going for that specific reason. Vacations are either planned around geocaching or you actually go geocaching while you're on vacation.
That's amazing. I wonder if there are geocache guides or people who could help you in those pursuits if you're doing it in far-flung places.
I have heard of some stuff like that, but yeah.
Is it better though to get involved with someone who's done it before, so you have a little bit of help in understanding how it might work the first time?
Absolutely. That's how I got my start, because I honestly did not understand it when I first started. And then all of a sudden a light bulb goes off, just clicks, and it's like, oh, and now you look at things differently. But it's usually always easier to start off with somebody that's been geocaching for a while. And 9 times out of 10, the other person's going to get hooked and they're going to pick up the hobby.
We're almost out of time, but I'm wondering, with the Wisconsin Geocaching Association and your past president, what is that leadership role like?
It's bringing Wisconsin geocachers together for a common purpose, for education, for gatherings, and just to have a great place for people to seek out, hey, I'm in Wisconsin, I can go to your website, and there's a form for new geocachers you can go in there and talk to. There's different exclusive games that the Wisconsin Geocaching Association puts out, like the Lonely Cache game, which is a game that is based on geocaches that haven't been found in more than 2 years. Mm. And you accumulate points, and at the end of the year, all those points are all totaled up, and there's usually an event where you're actually awarded a prize for the most points.
Well, Don, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me.
Don Children is a geocacher from Oshkosh, past president of the Wisconsin Geocaching Association. If you want to learn more about geocaching, we have a link to the association on our program page at wpr.org/mornings. Now it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCollum with the story about a young entrepreneur in Milwaukee.
One of the quintessential summer activities for kids is setting up a lemonade stand. You can find them all over Wisconsin. And one 9-year-old in Milwaukee has taken her lemonade stand to the next level by bottling the drink and donating some of her profits. Kierick's Lemonade has developed a devoted following and is popping up all over social media.
So the flavors are blue, pineapple, regular, pink, and orange.
That's Kierick Burt, owner of Kierick's Lemonade, and here's her mom, Nikki Burt.
I assist with her ordering. I help her with everything it takes to make the lemonade.
Yes.
And what goes into the sweetened tart lemonade?
No tap water. And fresh squeezed lemon.
There has to be more.
It's a secret.
Secret. And you're going to have to buy it.
I have a customer outside.
The day's first customer arrives to pick up her order, curbside and socially distant. Most days, Keurig sells dozens of bottles and gallons online. She's even shipped her lemonade across the country.
They keep coming back to buy from me because they think it's really, really good and they just wanted to support.
Her work ethic is crazy.
Yeah.
Stay up all night. Yeah, she's up all night. She's up early in the morning. Like, she is hands-on with her business because I need her to understand the beginning to the end so that someday I can pull back and then she take care of everything.
Keurig first set up her lemonade stand at church.
Well, we was on a rummage sale, and we wanted to sell lemonade, so we did, and it went off very good, and a lot of people liked this.
And then after that, we did bottles, a gallon for one person. We just posted casually on Facebook, thank you for allowing us to, you know, and it went crazy after that. Crazy.
Nikki says Keurig has treated herself to a new pair of roller skates, and she wants her to start saving for college, but most of the lemonade proceeds go to Keurig's community. She donated gallons of lemonade and hygiene products to homeless veterans in Milwaukee. Keurig also donates to the Wisconsin Humane Society.
Well, I wanted a bunny, and I can't have one. And I really wanted to do something good for, like, the homeless pets. And I just thought it would be nice to give them food.
I tell people all the time, it makes me feel so warm and fuzzy in the inside because she get it. At night, I cry a little bit. So I'm like, she get it. It's not just about her. It's about her community. And that warms my heart.
Nikki says they're working on taking Keurig's lemonade to the next level. The bottles are currently being sold in one neighborhood convenience store, but they have dreams of grocery stores and bigger markets.
I wish my lemonade would be so famous that I could just walk down a red carpet. Even like I can be on commercials on TV, DJ Khaled or something. Or somebody famous could be in there with me.
And another one. That's the one.
Another one. I love that.
As for advice for future entrepreneurs or current business owners,
just like try to put yourself out there more.
Listen to your children. They will lead you down the path that they desire to go. Do not, I repeat, do not push your own thoughts and your own ideas or your visions on your children.
Keep working on it, and as soon you'll get like me. I'm glad I did a lemonade business because I feel like it just makes me happy. Just selling lemonade with people buying it, seeing them happy, make me happy.
That was Keurig and Nikki Burt, owners of Keurig's Lemonade in Milwaukee. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook. I'm Maureen McCollum. Wisconsin Life is part of our weekly edition of Wisconsin Weekend here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and you're listening to the Ideas Network. You're right.